Hollywood Live Extra with Tanya Hart.
My guest today is the first African-American woman in human form to have a speaking role in the history of the Star Wars movies, which, by the way, started way back in 1977. She portrays T'Challa Zo, and Felicia Saunders' story is not your usual path to the red carpet. Felicia, welcome to Hollywood Live Extra.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, this is like, it's so funny because people do come to Hollywood, you know, from all over the world. You were actually born and raised here in Los Angeles. I don't know if you were born here, I believe, but I know you were raised here. And went back to school, you know, Princeton grad, and got all of these major degrees, master's degree in acting from UCLA. And all of a sudden, but you're working for J.J. Abrams. And if anybody listening to this doesn't know who that is, just Google him. Okay, I won't even say anything else. J.J. Abrams, you're working for him. And then you tell us the story of what happened. Because you're kind of working there, kind of in a job that most people would want to have in the beginning of their career. But how did this work out?
So, yeah, you're right. I grew up, was born and raised in Los Angeles, and then, you know, went to Princeton, came back and got my MFA in acting at UCLA. So, like, after that experience, I was sort of wanting to sort of get, you know, more knowledge of the industry. So I decided to take an internship at Bad Robot, which is where I am now. And I moved up from being an intern to the receptionist there after a year. And I was on the desk, and there were some, you know, JJ comes in and out, you know, it's a very small company, so you get to know each other pretty well. And, you know, people at the company knew I was an actor and knew, you know, that was my interest. So, you know, JJ caught wind of that somehow. And there was one day I was coming into work, and the security was texting me telling me that, you know, JJ is looking for you. And so I was like, you're kidding. I mean, why would he be looking for me?
Right. I bet you got kind of nervous. Like, oh, gosh, did I do something wrong?
God, did something happen at the front desk? And then it comes to find out, I walk through the door, and he says, hey, there's a little line we want to sort of shoot. It may not make it into the film, but do you want to be in Star Wars? And that was literally the line that he said to me. And you know, of course, on the inside, I was screaming, and I was like, what, is that like a trick question? But then right. What I really said was, sure, well, yeah, I'm free. So that was, you know, the rest is history, really. And it wasn't always guaranteed to be in the film. And then the next day, it just kind of worked, and he said it was in the film, so... That was
wow.
You know, now was
this in
ever.
The this was in, I was gonna say now was this in the first because you've been in two.
Yeah, this was in The Force Awakens. Yeah, in 2015.
Right, in 2015. Now you know it's very because until I actually and I have to say that your mother. I'm gonna let everybody know that I've known you for a long time because I come and visit in the neighborhood where you grew up and have, you know, actually partied with your folks and stuff. So your mother called me and she says, she's telling me this story and I'm like, you're kidding. And I honestly, you know, I remember you, Felicia, you and your sister, when you guys were like, you know, like in middle school or something like that. And all of a sudden you're all grown up because that's what happens to kids. But it's so funny because I'm thinking there's never been another African-American that had a speaking role, female that had a speaking role in this series.
No,
my gosh,
I mean,
it's been around since 1977.
What's funny is that I didn't know that until a friend of mine told me maybe like 6 or 7 months later. And I was like, you're kidding. So I actually went back and watched all of the movies and I was like, that can't be right. And it was true.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And well, that speaks a lot to your talent. And also, you know, it says a lot about people. Like I said, people come here from all over the world and they pray every day for a break like the one you got. Now, keep in mind, this was not, you know, you were terribly prepared for this. You were more prepared than most people for this moment. I mean, you know, like I said, all of the degrees from Princeton and UCLA. But even with that and taking a small role like this, what does that really mean?
I mean, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. I mean, that just goes to show you, like, my training, my education, and I've even trained over the summers and made sure I've taken all these programs and acting and classical acting. I mean, you have to be prepared at any moment, especially if you don't have, you know, many connections in the industry. It's just, you know, I keep that in my mind that it's not just going to happen overnight, especially if people are moving in here thinking they're going to be, you know, overnight successes. It's like, you know, slim to none, but you have to be prepared no matter what. And just even if a role like Star Wars comes across your desk, you know, you still got to keep moving and making sure that it's, you know, be patient. You know, it's a whole career is not going to happen overnight.
No, it doesn't. And the best ones do. I remember Quincy Jones told me years ago when I was starting my career, he said, you know what? He said, you have a choice. And he looked at me and he said, you have a choice. You can be really huge right now if you want to be, or you can let this play out and you'll be around for a very long time. And I took his advice. I said, I think I like the long time one.
Exactly. I would rather longevity versus just like one big thing and then, you know, not doing anything else after.
I'd rather
longevity and
So what's next for you? I mean, after landing something like this, I hear you got some other big changes. You're leaving the front desk, huh?
Well, I've actually, right after being receptionist in 2015, that following year, I became the assistant to the co-CEO. So for the last 3 years, I've been in that role. So I've been very lucky here.
Oh, very lucky. So are you going to stay there now? Or are you going to really focus on the acting or...
So I'm definitely, this year, 2020, I'm definitely going to be focusing more on my acting career and making sure, you know, I'm taking the right steps towards it. I mean, this recent The Rise of Skywalker film really is going to sort of skyrocket me into, you know, promoting my next thing. So I'm doing a solo show on the Hollywood Fringe Festival in June. And I'm writing and developing that, and it's going to be just me on the stage. And I've done other one-woman shows before, so this is like sort of my forte, and I'm really excited about that. I'm also
You have such a great.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry not to interrupt you, but I said you have such a stellar theater background, though.
I mean, you really do.
Yeah, so that makes so much sense. So I'm sorry.
I'm really,
go ahead.
Really excited about it. And I'm also doing a short film at the end of the month as well with some colleagues at work. There are a lot of writers, directors, producers here. So we're going to put something together and make something really good. So those are the two things that I'm most excited about coming up this year.
Well, that sounds like fun. I mean, and JJ's got, like you said, it's a small company, but it seems like everybody there must have, you know, creative juices just flowing out every single day. I don't know how you mop it all up, you know what I mean?
Well, it's wonderful to be around, and you're constantly inspired. So, I mean, it's
definitely
such a great environment here.
You know, let me just ask you something, because we we're in award season here. We're covering all of them, and that's what we do as well at AURN. And again, you know, we've got this whole issue about Oscars so white. Here you are, an African-American woman in probably one of the largest film franchises ever. Took us a long time to get there, but you're there. What would you say about that? And we know that everything is cyclical. Things change, but what is your impression of all of this that we keep hearing? And knowing that the Academy really they've added new members that are diverse, and it still doesn't seem to matter.
You know what? As an actor, a person of color, woman of color, just seeing it happen from time to time is kind of frustrating, but it kind of is fire under your butt, really. You know, it makes you want to work 10 times harder. Go and make your own stuff as well. Like, that's why I'm sort of stepping in the producer seat this year by producing my own one-woman show, and then from there producing more things, you know, from there. And because of that frustration, you want to work and make sure that you put representation of people who look like you and people who also don't look like you, who are in minority groups, in your films, and making sure that's, you know, a top priority. So even though, I mean, an Oscar it would be great, but I mean, just doing work constantly is 10 times greater, even though you might not get the recognition you need. So That's sort of like a twofold answer, but you know, at the end of the day, it makes you more motivated.
Yes. Well, that's a very good way of looking at it. And I think that's maybe the way we should all look at it. Because, again, you know, I mean, we did have a great year when Black Panther came out. That we won't get that every year. But there were so many good performances this year, you know, especially in the acting categories. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking men and women and not just Black people, but other people of color. And it's like nothing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, for our friend, you know, for the first time, there's a female producing the show that happens to be an African-American woman, Stephanie Allaine. And so I'm like, okay, so the year that you get a Black woman to produce the show, you don't have any Black people. Harriet, Cynthia, and then the Obamas film, you know, their documentary, and then the Hair movie, and I forget the title of it now.
The animated short film. Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, and those are kinds of things that we don't generally see at all. I would say most people did not see that, but that's a good one. But see, I expect that you'll be doing a lot of stuff like that too.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about, because I know you got to go back to work because it's that time, a little bit about Tabala Zoe. So that character, tell me about that character and kind of what you put into it, even though it's, you know, how does that happen? When JJ says, okay, I want you to do this, what did you do?
Well, initially he wrote down my line. I had a couple of lines at first, and then they split it between me and another character. I initially looked at it. I mean, I'm a resistance fighter. I mean, at that point, I kind of didn't know the whole story because nobody really knows the whole story unless you're like the, you know, small group of principal actors. So I had to sort of, you know, put my imagination to it. And especially if you're not on an actual, like, base, which is where I'm supposed to be. You're on a soundstage. Everything's sort of, you know, feel fabricated movie magic at the end of the day. So you're kind of like sitting behind a plexiglass. You're supposed to be imagining you're typing on a computer. So you kind of put your imaginative brain. I mean, I had all these acting classes under my belt. Your imagination is your, you know, your tool here. So I just right in the moment, just like turned that on. And, you know, I felt like it was a great end result. At the end of the day, I really looked like it was very, I mean, if you don't know the line, it's the line, Admiral, their weapon will fire in 2 minutes, which is, you know, we're literally about to die.
Right.
So,
oh, well.
I mean, after every take, I was like, just imagine we're literally about to die. I feel like anyone could put themselves in that situation.
And see, girl, that's why you're going to get another call from Mr. J.J. Abrams.
That's what this Rise of Skywalker was. I mean, I was doing emotional moments, which, you know, he knew I can sort of turn on. So I'm very lucky for that.
Very, very, very lucky. Well, we are so happy for you and just, you know, I've enjoyed you for years and I know that you're going to be doing these great, great things. So if there was one thing, though, that you would tell to your younger self, what would that be?
Honestly, just, you know, going back to your earlier question about, you know, this, your career and, you know, it happening overnight and things like that. I mean, when you're younger, starting out in this industry, you think you're going to have overnight success. You think you're going to book all these auditions. I mean, I would tell my younger self, just be patient. I mean, enjoy your childhood, enjoy the moment, because once you get older, I mean, you're sort of going to, you know, it's not going to happen as, you know, it's going to be more, things are going to take a lot more time, and you're going to be understanding that sort of at a later age versus when you're younger and you're like, I just want to grow up tomorrow. I just want to, you know, do all these things all at once. So I wish I had told, you know, I would love to tell younger Felicia just to slow down. Have more fun.
Oh, I know. Well, everybody, you're listening to Hollywood Live Extra. I'm Tanya Hart. My guest today is Felicia Saunders. She, a.k.a. Tabalizo, from the Star Wars franchise. So, Felicia, what do you think, if moving forward, if you had the one project that you just said, okay, I've got to do this, because I'm sure you've thought about it, all the acting classes and all the theater you've done. What is the one role that you feel you were born to play?
Is it existing now or something that's just happening?
Well, it doesn't have to. No. Maybe it's not anything that exists now. Maybe it's in your head. I don't know.
I really love, in terms of genre, I would love to do fantasy, sci-fi roles. I grew up watching them. I mean, I'm in Star Wars, so that's like a notch in my belt. Worlds that are, you know, built and from nothing, and just being a part of that would be so cool to me. And then also period pieces. I'm a classically trained actress, so I love, you know, all the classical pieces. So any of those as well.
Wow, sounds good. You're going to be terrific in whatever you do, as we know. We wish you the best success, and come back whenever you get your one-woman show together. We'd like to let everybody know about that.
I'd love to invite you guys as well.
Absolutely. Well, I'll come. Jay's on the East Coast, our producer who's listening in here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he'll fly in, trust me. If you send him an invite, he'll fly in for it, too.
Great. I'll have you guys on invite list.
There you go. We will be there. Well, thank you, darling. Go back to work. Tell J.J. Abrams I said hello. He's actually one of my caucus members, and I love him because he always pays his dues on time. So you can let him know that Tanya Hart's very appreciative of him.
That doesn't surprise me.
I love it. Thank you so much, Felicia.
Thank you so much for having
and we'll
me.
We'll talk to you soon. Absolutely. And for everybody else, if you like what you hear, don't forget to get the AURN app or subscribe to SoundCloud, Stitcher, or any other podcast directory. Make sure you download all of these. You don't want to miss any. Give us a 5-star review if you like what you hear. I'm Tanya Hart. This is Hollywood Live Extra.
Hollywood Live Extra, a product of American Urban Radio Networks.